As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia.
Estremamente bravissimo ovviamente come attore, ma estremamente simpatica e intelligente, sarebbe dovuto tornare per la DeepCon del 2020, che ovviamente abbiamo dovuto cancellare, proprio annullare a causa della pandemia. Siamo stati in contatto e avevamo pensato anche che sarebbe potuto venire l'anno scorso per la Eurocon, ma c'era ancora qualche problema con i viaggi dal Canada dove lui vive. Quest'anno ci siamo scritti di nuovo e la sua risposta è fatta: non mi importa nulla, il Covid ci ha già tolto troppe cose e quindi voglio assolutamente venire insieme a mia moglie, che è qui, che è una persona deliziosa. Marchetta is a very nice person. È con grande piacere che abbiamo di nuovo con noi Mr. David Nicol.
Grazie. Grazie. Hello. Hello. Buonasera, Luigi. Hello, Jessica. Wow. So hello. Hi, guys. How are you? Buonasera. I think I remember you from 10 years ago. Not you. Yeah, who was here 10 years ago, the last time?
Yeah.
Okay, the stories haven't changed very much. Does everybody understand me? Okay. Well, okay. Do we need Flora to translate?
No.
What? Greta is doing it. Okay. Well, as long as you understand me. I have dubbing. I'll have my titles right here. Yeah, I'm not Welsh. I'm not Scottish. That'd be harder to understand. It's fantastic to be back here in Fiji. We walked up to the top of the hill. We should have done it the other way around. We should have gotten a ride up and came down. I know. Well, we never learn, but it's nice. It's a nice walk. It's beautiful. It's very quiet. Very quiet compared to Rome. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So is everyone... I know it's a Star Trek convention. Does
no.
No? I'm not going to call it a Star Trek. It's a science fiction convention. Has anyone heard of a show called Stargate Atlantis?
Yay!
That's where it started for me for coming into... For coming here. The amazing thing about that show, about Stargate Atlantis, is when I was on set, we have the big Stargate. And I would come into the Stargate and I would go, nothing. It says it doesn't work. But then when I think about it over the last 15 years, I have gone through that Stargate and been in places all over the world because of that. So it really does work in some ways. It is a real thing. It's a fantastic opportunity to be able to come to places like this. I've been an actor all my life. I was a child actor. I started in theater, mostly in Vancouver, all the way on the other side of North America. I studied theater and English literature at the University of British Columbia. And in 1989, politics kind of intervened when the Berlin Wall came down, or when the world opened up into the East. Given what's happened today, it's happening now, it's particularly tragic, but it was an opportunity for me to go back for the first time. I was born in Prague, but I had never been there because it was communist. So I returned in 1989 after graduating, or 1990, and I started doing theater. I was doing theater there. We did Waiting for Godot. How do you say that in...
Aspettando Godot.
Spoiler alert, he never comes. I don't know if you've ever seen it. He never comes. I played Estragon, the one who can't get his shoe off. That was sort of the beginning of my stay in Prague. I stayed there for 10 years. I met Marketa. With my colleagues there, we started a theater company called Misery Loves Company. That's, how do you say that? Misery Loves Company. Misery Loves Company. Do you have any water?
Miseria.
Grazie. Okay. You can't translate it? Is it? So that was the beginning of the 90s, and we were we grew into the largest, it was English-speaking, theater company in Prague. At the same time, I was working in other theater companies there in Czech, and because it's like it is in Europe, it's a repertory system where you can... So it was a wonderful time to be there, because I was in several different productions at the same time working in Prague. Throughout the 90s, so it was a wonderful time, and it was at that time that many of the American productions came there and started filming there, and that's why I sort of started doing film a bit more. In 99, we returned to Vancouver, and about 3 years later, in 2003, is when Stargate came along. And originally, the role was to be a Russian scientist, Karpov. I still have the sides. From that day, and when they found out that I am Czech, When I speak Czech, they changed it to Zelenka, Dr. Zelenka. And Dr. Zelenka didn't have a first name for about the first year. And then I got Radek Zelenka. And when you have a first name on science fiction, you know you're going to survive. You know you're going to live a little bit longer. And, you know, it was like a trick. At the end of every season, you don't know if you're going to be killed, so you just stand beside, you know, Joe Flanagan or some of the stars. They can't kill him, so you have to stand close to him. So that was the that was Stargate, and someone came up to me during that and said, you know, you can go to conventions, that there's places you can go to with a convention. And I didn't believe it. I didn't understand what they were or how they worked. And the first one I went to was in London, and I remember being backstage saying, what am I going to talk about? What is this phenomenon? And I came out on stage, and there were 700 people and flash cubes and everything, and I was... The power of television. It's remarkable, absolutely remarkable. So that was the first time I sort of had a chance to see what conventions were like and the fans. And it was a bit scary at first because I don't know what you guys were doing. I said, why are you doing here? I'm on TV. I don't know what. And then as I got to meet them over the years all over the place, it's one of the most amazing communities in the world. The Stargate, the creativity, and the friends that I've made. I was just telling Marquette, it's all over the world, you know, from Tel Aviv to Madrid to Australia to here. It's quite a phenomenon. So it's wonderful to be here. Wow, that's my life in 5 minutes. My professional life in 5 minutes. Oh, I forgot. There's another show called Arrow. I did that too, yes. Did you guys, anyone see Arrow?
Yeah.
Anyone seen Arrow, yeah? Anatoly. Anatoly on Arrow. Yeah. That's been the last few years. I've missed that show. That was a very fun show to do. All filmed in Vancouver, all filmed at 2 o'clock in the morning, all filmed in the rain. It was a hard show to shoot. And then the last 2 years have been horrible. They've been very slow, very dead. There's been nothing anywhere. So this is so good that everybody's back again. Isn't it nice? It's nice. You all have masks, but I know it's... We're almost out of it. We are almost out of it.
But
in Arrow, the character happens to be Russian. Yeah.
He's also the bad guy.
Well, bad guy, good. The bad guy, that's a judgment. You know, he's just made some decisions. You have to do what you have to do. Bad guy, good guy. That's too polemic. There's other things. It's similar, yeah. Slavic language, Russian and Czech and Polish and Croat. They're similar. So we can understand. No, that's funny, yeah, because in Arrow it was an accent, in Stargate it wasn't an accent. I told my agent, you know I speak English. Yeah. No, it's similar. I had a coach that spoke to Russian. I would get my sides on the telephone, and so I would listen to Russian and try to, you know, do the accent the way they talk in, you know, in Russia. So... that was cool. That was there were some entire scenes in Russian, so it was a lot to learn phonetically. You know, the sound of the language, which was cool.
But in Stargate Atlantis,
I spoke Czech.
And I know that you wrote your Czech.
Yeah. Well, they would just say swears in Czech. So that's an opportunity to teach the whole world how to swear in Czech. And I did. No censorship. They had no idea. I was calling Rodney, you fucking idiot, all the time. And it was broadcast all over, and the Czechs just loved it. And the irony is, too, is that I'm dubbed in Czech.
So when I'm speaking English in Czech with my Czech accent, they talk Czech, and then when I go, ty vole, ty seš takovej hajzl do prdele, when I speak Czech, I suddenly start speaking Czech, and the dubber stops. So it's weird. There's two voices for me. There's the real voice. Well, you know, it's a bit of an American conceit to think that everyone in space speaks English. Just because everybody speaks English here on Earth doesn't necessarily mean everybody speaks it in space. Oh, the production track.
Oh, you call it production track.
Yeah.
We call it the international track. So, could you please explain why you have to dub?
Yeah. So the original mix of the sound is done in which is called the production production track, and then when you're dubbing somebody, when you have a language, you have all of the you get the script. So anything there is extra. They don't. I mean, they'll translate what you are. But again, if I'm going to talk in Czech, they had to leave it because you can't translate Czech to Czech. There's no translation to leave it there. So it was really ironic. The dubbing is a phenomenal thing. I mean, I've heard myself speak Portuguese, Spanish, French. It's just wow. How did I do that? Yeah, it's weird because it's me talking and it's a different voice and it's just like, come on, that's not me. I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell in Finnish or anything like that. It's just the sound. I've met my dubber, for example, in France. He's a fantastic actor, Marcel, I forget his last name. But I meet sometimes it's a whole skill that is only in Europe or maybe the rest of the world, because in America, obviously, there's no dubbing, you know. No, I haven't. No. But I do speak Italian, of course, right?
Yes, I've got the DVDs at home. I forgot them, of course. I cannot have the time and work. Well, I'm sure.
I should have my dubber here.
Another question. We have seen you in our role. We have seen you in Spaghetti Apartis. So, except for those two, what is your favorite work, TV or movie that you have done?
Oh, that I have done? Well, I because of what I talked, because of the community and because of the world that it has opened up, Stargate Atlantis will always have a very important thing in my life. In terms of favorite, I prefer doing theater. It's so much better. It's so much because it's all one swoop. It's a character that you can do. It's you have to do it all at once. It's a bigger challenge. TV is a lot of waiting, and then you get a small chance, and then if you make a mistake, you can do it again. So it gets kind of easy, you know. Although, you know, particularly with Stargate, it was a very technical show, and it was a fantastic technical education for how science fiction is made, how green screens and plate shots and some of the computer tracking when you have two characters, like when Rodney McKay was two of them. So the actor does this and he talks to a C-stand, which is like one of those stands, to a tennis ball. And then the next scene he changes and he stands and he's this one, right? And so the camera is locked. You can't touch the camera because it'll change it. And that's how you do, you know, how you do like two people in one scene. Those kind of technical aspects of Stargate was fantastic. And for Arrow, the real amazing thing to learn there was the stunts. It was all, they call it street level crime. So it was punching and jumping off of buildings and stuff like that. So the stunts on that show were terrific, were tremendous. Well, I had a couple. I didn't have too many. I mean, I had my other guys do it for me, right? They did it for me. My minions. Does anyone have any questions? Jessica already knows everything. Some funny things from the set. Jason Momoa. He was, I didn't have too many scenes with him, but he didn't take it very seriously. He'd be throwing things at us when we were doing scenes. He never had to learn anything, right? He just goes, huh? Yeah? What? And you know, Zelenka, huh? You're not even working. We would play pranks on each other, you know, a lot of the times. That was happening a lot. There was a time, I was not there, but this is one of my favorite ones, when my good friend Paul McGillion, who played Dr. Carson Beckett on the show, there was a scene where he had a, he had to go up a little hill, and he had his doctor's bag, and he had to go up this hill, and he comes up and thing, and looks around, and we'd put rocks into his bag and bricks and stuff. And he would never notice. It was more and more and more. It's like, this thing is getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Just stuff like that. No, there was a very strong divide. I mean, I think I've heard that happens in Star Trek too, that they're very much, they write and you act and shut up sort of thing. It was a bit like that, because we, you know, I sort of at one point sort of thought, well, you know, for example, I know how to fence. That was, you know, like fencing. And I, yeah, do you? There you go. The two of you. And so it just occurred to me, it'd be kind of cool. I don't know if you guys can use it. And I sort of had a writer way go by, and I said, you know, I can do fencing. And the reaction was sort of like, yeah. So what? Exactly. So I sort of thought, well, okay, that's pointless. And it's a difficult thing, because when you do a character over many years, you have a sort of a feeling for it, and you develop what you think the character is. And then suddenly they'll write something like, you know, he has pigeons. He cares for pigeons. Oh, okay. So he's this kind of a guy, right? So you get clues as you go along the way for you know, for who you are or your backstory. You know, is he married? Is he gay? Is he, who is he? You have to sort of make these decisions as you go.
So unfortunately, we didn't get to see you in a Sulu Sea fencing.
No, you didn't get to see it. No. They would have had a great opportunity, but no, they don't. They didn't. Well, and then they also ended it, you know, after at the end of season 5, so abruptly, so suddenly, you know. That's where I came in with the Deus Ex Machina, where it was like, the wormhole drive. Yeah, it was right before the very end of the show, 15 minutes left in the whole of Stargate Atlantis, and I come downstairs and I say, I have figured out a way to get back to Earth. Ooh, just in time. So they were obviously, you know, finishing it up as fast as possible by just making up just whatever. It was a wormhole drive, I think is what it was, specifically.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have,
yes.
In front of you,
yes. And you have to know the character fully. You have to do all the work before.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is there any role in theater you would have loved to play, or you will maybe play in the future?
Oh, wow. Is there any that I would...
Maybe a Shakespearean play or something else?
I did a little bit of Shakespeare. I studied it. I learned it. The presentation, the language, it's a poet's. It's very much a poetic approach to acting. It's all about the language. I would like something like, I don't know, Stanley and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, or you know, those real kind of like Tennessee Williams, something like that would be great. I have done theater in the 90s. It's very different in Vancouver. It's not the same as it is in Europe. It's a different thing. The show, we rehearse for 2 weeks. It goes on for three or four nights, and then it goes away. And that I did a play about 2 years ago before the pandemic called Superior Donuts by Tracy Letts, and that was a really fun character and a fun thing to do. And that kind of an opportunity, if I had to have that again, I would do that. Yeah. Yes. Yes, I have directed. I've directed before, and that I particularly with theater is great, because it's a great. I wouldn't do it for film, or I wouldn't do it for television, because it's so much of a, you're so much of a middle manager. You're answering to the studios, you're answering to the producers, you're answering to the writers, and you don't. Particularly in franchise shows, particularly, you have to do it the certain way that you're doing it. And there is a way to do it and a way to do it. There's not that much. It's kind of a manager's position. Whereas with theater, and I particularly love doing children's theater, was fun to direct. The creativity, so much more creativity and ideas, and you can choose your actors in a good theater. You can choose your actors. So that's what's fantastic about it. I love doing that, and I would do that. But yeah, not necessarily directing. That's in film.
I love theater as well.
Yeah. Carlogozzi. We did King Stag. Carlogozzi. I remember that. Yeah, we did that in Prague. Dario Fo. There's another one. I remember. Can you think of any others? Yeah. Well, of course, commedia dell'arte, right? That's the basis of character development, right? Pantalone and all the different comes. So many things came from Italy. You guys invented everything. Pasta, Vespas, ice cream, commedia dell'arte, pizza.
Well, the Greeks.
The Greeks invented pizza?
No.
Am I missing something? Yes. Yes, you did it better, of course. You take everything from the rest of the world and you make it better. That's right. Yeah. They can have the fries. That's fine.
And
yeah, okay. Okay. And you invented what? And you the whiskey. That's not bad in Scotland, right? And the whole world drinks it. And the Czechs invented beer. So. Yes. Do you like Czech food?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And you're from Italy and you like Czech food?
Yes.
Okay. It's very heavy.
Yeah.
It's very heavy.
I know.
Knedlík, dumplings, meat, sauce. Did you ever see that map of Europe where it's like a Venn diagram, the circles?
Oh, yes.
And it's, vodka, beer, and the south is wine. And in the middle where all three meet is the Czech Republic. Yeah, I'm sure that's like.
Yes, you have a question regarding your future. What do you
question regarding.
What do you
It's been COVID. I just printed up an audition that I have to do. One of the most horrible things that COVID has done to actors is it has taken away auditions. And we all have to tape in front of our iPhones now. So it's ridiculous. So I have my iPhone, I put it on a stand, and you do the scenes like that. So I had a couple jobs. I had a few jobs through the pandemic and the testing, and then some days were canceled, and then they were moved along, and so it was so difficult. I pray that we come back to sort of a better way of doing it. Everybody does, obviously, but it's particularly hard because it's such a social job. You're working with people all the time. You're working in the scenes, and I sort of thought, you know, we're all wearing masks. And then we do the scene, and we take the mask off, and we're talking to each other like this, right? There's so many inconsistencies. I'm not going to go back to COVID. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, the past 2 years have been tough for actors everywhere. I think you talk to all actors. They've had a real tough time. It's now beginning to pick up. And in Vancouver, they call it Hollywood North, right? We are in the same time zone as Los Angeles. And the Canadian dollar is weaker, so the Americans come and they can put all their money into the productions there. So there's a lot of filming that happens in Vancouver, and that went away, and now it's beginning to come back up again. So it's great.
I have a very curious question. Mm-hmm. Out of curiosity, I suppose you know the TV series Murdoch Mysteries, which is
Murdoch Mysteries. Yes.
I love it.
You watch Murdoch Mysteries?
I love it. I love it.
Why don't I do Murdoch Mysteries? For you, Flora, I will. I'll phone them up, I say. Flora Stagliano says, I gotta do Murdoch.
So, would you like to do one
episode of Murdoch? Sure, sure. Yeah, now that I know that you're gonna watch it, Flora. It's very Canadian.
Yes, it's very Canadian. But it's not very American.
No. Okay. Okay, sure. Sure, I'll do it. I would love to do something like Better Call Saul. It's too late now. It's over. Have you watched that show? And Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Talk about Shakespeare. Those are fantastic shows. The final season of Better Call Saul is coming now, so we've been watching it again to catch up. Yeah, it's great. Do you have it dubbed here also?
Yes.
Obviously, everything's dubbed, yeah. Do you have also the same actors that dub characters so that you go, he's doing this guy and this guy and this guy? Okay.
I'll wait.
So what was the question? There wasn't a question. There wasn't a question.
The issue is him.
Unless there are conflicts. Meaning that there are two actors in the same show which have the same voice, and then one of them must have a different voice from the usual one.
I told you not to go, but I'm not going to go. I told you not to go. Yeah.
And then nothing ever surfaces. Have you ever been approached for any of these productions, or do you have maybe any good news you can?
Yeah, I wish. I would be the last person to know. They I've heard that rumors that it's supposed to come back again, a new version. Amazon, right, bought MGM. And so everyone is like, let's write to Jeff Bezos and get him to go Stargate again, as if that's the biggest concern that he has. It's in the world. He is?
Yeah.
Well, he's... Oh, because he expands. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From fans.
Yeah.
And
isn't that great? When you're rich enough, I'll buy it. It's amazing. That's what he... Yeah, no, there's been lots of talk about bringing it back. I mean, in the age where everything is being redone, right? I mean, how many Star Treks are there? 12? Yeah, there's so many. Am I not allowed to talk about Star Trek? Is that... Oh, they're not as good.
As good? They're not good.
Ah, I see, yeah.
With the screens, big holes in the screens.
Yeah, yeah. So. It's Stargate is a very specific thing. I mean, the thing I like about it is that everybody knows it's science fiction. Everybody knows we're being told a story, so let's have fun. So there's a sense of humor about it. There's a lightness to it. It doesn't take itself too seriously, you know. It's very flip. It sort of takes the piss a lot. So I like that about it.
Great acting.
The best. The others had good acting. Yeah. Is it a? Okay. It's. Is that the consensus of fans everywhere, that it's not as good?
Well, in Italy, yeah.
There is no consensus in Italy.
No, I actually think in Italy, maybe 70% think that it's rubbish and 30% think that it's,
oh,
it's amazing. Of course, those who have never watched
it. Some of those are dogmatic release.
Yes. Yes, there's a lot of dogma, that's for sure.
Now for something completely excluding the deep con. What is the best convention word you ever heard?
Excluding deep con? Well, deep deep con is the best, of course. No, deep con is fantastic. New Zealand. New Zealand is beautiful. New Zealand, I mean, the beauty of this is to be able to see these different places, which I wouldn't have. So because it's such a far place, and Australia too, because it's so far to go, they usually do two shows on two weekends. So they will bring in, like, for example, a bunch of actors into Sydney, and then the next weekend is Melbourne or Adelaide or wherever. So that week in between is to see these places. So I love being able to go to those. So I'd like rent a car, and I've driven all over Australia, up and down Darwin, East Coast, West Coast, just to see it. Just because the first time I went, I said, I'm never going to get a chance to come here. I got to see as much as I can. I've been there 12 times. So, you know, you never know. And every time I saw a little bit, and I try to, you know, I sometimes take my kids with me, I take whoever I can to see these places.
Okay, what was your convention experience in Czech?
Oh, the convention experience in Czech, the first time I was there was in something in 2004, 5, 6, something like that, when we were still filming. And Stargate Atlantis was not on TV in the Czech Republic. It was not, and they invited me, and I said, "But how do you know the show? How would you know?" 500 people came. Thing, everybody was downloading it illegally. Everybody, it's Czech, of course. Czechs will always think of a way to do something. They stopped, for example, they would stop renting cars in Germany to go into the Czech Republic, because the Czechs would rent cars in Germany, bring them over, take the part that they needed for their car, put it in, and then return it. that kind of, you know, we'll get what we need, doesn't matter how to do it. So, yeah. So I was blown away that they would invite me, first of all, because it's not on TV, and then when I said that it was being downloaded, it was, yeah.
Because they were the only one understanding
Yeah, yeah. They were said, "Oh, say what you did. Say all the swear words that you say." It was quite something. It was quite funny. Yeah, and they've been, I mean, all over the world again. You know, Tel Aviv. I remember going. I heard there's one in Dubai too. Yeah, right after. Yeah. To that one as well, too. It was in a restaurant, like a Sammy J. Pepper's or something like that. We were all sitting in one table. It was funny. You get all different types.
What about
the big ones? I mean, some of them. Yeah. Have you ever been to any of the big, really big ones, like Atlanta, or some of the ones with massive 50,000 people? It takes 20 minutes to wait for an elevator in the hotel room, right? It's impossible to get around, and you're walking like in an airport, you know, getting on the plane. You're just always people everywhere. It's crazy. Some of those ones are too big, but those are like those multi you know, Comic Cons, those kinds of shows, and they've become so much popular in the world, right? There's Comic Cons everywhere now. Yeah. Yeah, all of them, yeah, for the past 2 years. Yeah. Is this the first time back?
No,
you
did last year.
Did last?
I sent you an email and you said, you know, better. We have problems flying from Canada, so maybe let's do it next year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Last year we did Eurocon, actually, here. European Science Fiction Convention in July.
Yes. Of course not.
Yeah, of course. And then from Great Britain, the United Kingdom, and Ireland, people couldn't come because they couldn't fly.
They couldn't fly. So it was, yeah.
Yeah, and there were only 150, but, you know, it was the first convention, probably one of the first conventions in Europe after COVID.
Yeah.
People were pretty excited just to see each other.
Well, it's such a risk to put on a show during COVID, right?
Yeah.
It's over. We're getting...
No, you know what? We were really very strict. We only accepted people with vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not have one single COVID case.
Yeah.
So,
good.
Thank God.
So far. So far. Uh-oh. Oh, Emilio's going to ask a question. Please, hurry up. Go ahead.
So, excluding DVD, what is the worst experience you had in a con?
Excluding DVD, what's the worst one? There's been some funny ones. Some of the weird ones in America are strange. Some of those, I remember a place called Hagerstown, Maryland. I went to one. It was, yeah, the organization. People like Flora are very important. It's the way the show is run, and the way the show is run. And they don't feed you there like you do here. That's the best part of DeepCon.
I know, but they also have maybe, you know, a lot of people going, so they're very strict, and then I heard also some
Yeah.
So,
yes. Yeah, there's been, yeah, well, you don't have someone with you, for example. So I remember one of the ones in Atlanta when you have sort of behind you those curtains. No, like you have a table and then right behind you it's pipe and there was a fan that came up and she would not stop talking. She was talking and talking and talking and talking. And it was very, very good in 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then 20 minutes, and it was like, oh, I have a phone call. And I went behind the curtain, and it was like, boomp. And I was sitting there going, I'm pretending to be on a phone call. I will wait. And she said, and eventually went away. So, yeah, there's, you get everything. No, no, nothing really, really weird. I mean, there's weird, but there's really, really weird. Nothing really, really weird. Yeah, no, 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 none of that. None of that, fortunately, no. Anatoly Knyazev.
Okay. How it started with acting in Arrow?
Arrow was a difficult, or it wasn't evident what the role would be, because when it first came out, the role was prisoner. And I started in season two in jail with a huge beard, and I would be beside the cell that the main actor, Stephen was in. And when my agent told me that it was the role for prisoner, the difficult thing for an actor in Vancouver is if you take a small role on a show that is in Vancouver, that means you can't be on that show anymore. So you want to wait for a role that's going to be a little longer. And so when he said prisoner, I says, okay, that's going to last one episode. It ended up going two, three, and then at the end of season two, they indicated that there's a whole Russian backstory that they're going to tell about that. I had no idea. So nothing for season three, and then in season four, five, 2 years, nothing. And then the phone rings, and then it was 30 episodes. You never know. You never know. And it was Anatoly, and I was shaved, and I had a nice suit, and I'm Bratva, and I'm Bachan of Bratva, and it was like, okay. So you never know. And particularly with shows that shoot in Vancouver, around sort of episode 103, 104, 105, as the show settles into its groove, if you get a good role there, that's sort of the window of getting a good job, of getting work out of it. So hopefully that'll come back. Well, that I was working in yeah, sure. I mean, that's kind of a little bit of the reason why we're there, because of the film industry. You know, I'm not American, so otherwise we'd be in Los Angeles, I suppose. But in Canada, it's the place to be for film, is in the West. Yes. The flashbacks, yeah.
Was it difficult to, from the actor perspective, to build the character, as you said before, a character in the past, so the same character but with different experiences? So it was difficult to play.
That's a good question. Yeah, you don't. What's interesting is that when you're doing the role, whether it's in the past or the present, doesn't matter, right? You're just you just have one direction, one role. So the part that was the evolution was going from being, you know, prisoner to finding out that you're Bratva. And it's exciting because you don't know what's coming, what's gonna be next. Like they take the character and you have to go with it. With television, there is so little time. I would get the script on Tuesday and we're working on Thursday, right? So you spend the day learning it and you go, oh, okay, I'm doing this now, I'm doing this now. So you have to absorb that and go with what you're given by the writers. I think when you're like more higher placed as an actor, one or two or three on the cast list, that, you know, they have an opportunity. Some actors are producers, right? That to be able to influence what the character does. But when you're a supporting character like this, you have to literally roll with the punches, whatever is going. And I loved it because it was a great opportunity to be. It was like being a kid in school again, you know, bang 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 bang, and the Anatoly's bar, there was that one time when Anatoly's bar got shot up and all the windows got blown out and we're hiding. That's so much fun. it's really fun to do. It's like you're being a kid all over again. Plus you get paid for it. That's the best part. Yes. For real windows? No, they're rubber. The glass is rubber. So the window is, it's sugar glass. It's made of sugar. It's made of sugar. So it's very weak. I wouldn't recommend eating it. I wouldn't recommend eating it. I mean, I think it's called sugar glass, but I don't know if it's actually made of sugar. It's probably some other material, some fibrous material that's weak. And you just have to, like that. And it does a very dramatic, it explodes. And then when you have to lie in glass, like if there's glass, you know, from a broken window, it's rubber. It's silicone. There's so many things that are... There's so many. There's a classic. I remember one of the ones with Radek Zelenka. It's called the cowboy stunt, and it was the one where I was crawling around in the vents, and I come to the vent, and then I fall out of the vent and get up. Well, I'm lying on the ground, and the stuntman falls, and then I go, "Oh!" That was really. It's behind a table, right? And I take all the credit. Oh, that was really hard. It was like. Yeah, the stuntmen really do all the work on those shows, and which is what why a lot of actors love their stuntmen, because they literally fall guy, they take the fall for everything. Yes.
Go ahead.
Did you have any chance to play an Italian character?
Did I ever have a chance to play an Italian character? I'll tell you, my problem is that I do the work and I kind of forget about it. That's what makes it so difficult to do these things. Because I do the work and I go, what's next? What's next? I always say it's like driving a car and trying to make a left turn. You are dealing with a problem very specific right now. I'm not looking at the whole intersection. I'm just trying to do the one thing. I'm honestly trying to remember. I will tell you by the end of my panel if I remember. We did Carlo Gozzi, so I played Pantalone. That's Italian. Yeah. So let's go with that. That's my answer. Yeah, Pantalone. Was you? Yes. I worked in Toronto a little bit. Canada is a little bit like the United States, where every region is its own place. So once you're in BC, they don't like you to work in Ontario. They use tax as the reason, because you have to pay taxes here and you have to be a resident of British Columbia, which is the province in the West, to work there. So ironically enough, you don't work as much in Toronto as you would. There's more work in Vancouver too. Mostly American, again, TV shows. Toronto has a few that shoot there, but also many Canadian productions like Murdoch Mysteries.
I think
Murdoch shoots in Toronto.
Now.
Yeah.
No, I think they started in Toronto and then they went to Vancouver.
No, they're not in Vancouver. They're in Toronto. They've stayed. No. Murdoch has always stayed there. Most Canadian productions come out of Toronto. A lot of American productions are in Vancouver. Flashpoint. Yeah, Tori is on a show called Transplant. That's in.
And also,
which one?
The Handmaid's
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Private Eyes.
Private Eyes. Yeah. Well, we started with X-Files, was the first one that in Vancouver was in the 80s and the 90s. And then everything, the Stargate franchise, and now it's all the CW shows, which is Arrow, Arrowverse, Flash, Supergirl, Lois and
Flash,
yeah, those ones. So a lot of the superhero shows are doing that. And that's also another problem with me because I'm Anatoly and everybody knows me. I can't do Flash. It's taken out like four different shows to do, which my other colleagues are doing all these. I got on The Flash, I got on Superman and Lois, and I said, can you get me on those shows? And I said, you're Anatoly, you can't be on Flash. Well, of course I can, right? I said, of course I can, but that's what the producers... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or a different... Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I can shave and not have an accent. I know. I can do anything. That's what actors are supposed to do. No. I read Flash. I was a kid, and one of my favorite characters was Firestorm, which I think is in Legends of Tomorrow or something. I think he's in that show. So yeah, like every kid, I watched Star Wars and I had the comic books and I read that, but not Green Arrow, not that one specifically. So that whole world, when I got it, I had to learn everything about it.
There you do.
No. No, they don't. My kids don't watch the show. No. No. I have to remind my family that I'm a celebrity. I'm famous. Whatever, we don't care. Well, so for example, like I'm at home and Arrow's on TV and I go, "Hey, look, guys, I'm on TV." And they're like, "I see you all the time. Why do I want to see you on TV?" No respect. I have to come here. Yes, they do.
Because
I'm paying. Yeah, really? No, they'll eat with me. That's fine, because I'm paying. Yeah, exactly. But no, they don't watch the show. It's interesting. I don't know. Maybe one day they'll see it and they'll understand the brilliance.
Less and less.
Because the shows are not on TV anymore, right? Back when Stargate was on TV, sometimes I get like someone looking at me going, you know, like there's a something. But also I think the characters are very different. I think Radek is very different than Anatoly. And they're different places, and there's been other shows that did Supernatural and other characters, and so some people.
So you've never had problems leading a normal life?
No, in terms of a normal life, no. A few weird places, like I was putting my groceries away, and a lady in the parking lot at Superstore was like, "Hey, Anatoly!" So when they know, they're very excited. They're very happy to see. The worst place is a men's washroom, of course. That's kind of happened too, and it's just like. It was in America, yeah. Yes. Can I go pee upstairs? No, I don't want to be. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which she hated because she loved the character she played in Babylon 5, and she didn't like very much the character and lost. So. And basically, these Americans came while we were in the bar, and they said, "Oh, you are, you know, the woman in, not even the name of the character."
The woman in, yeah.
Ha ha ha!
Yeah. Yeah. I know. People think it's nice to be recognized, but there's something about it that's like, I don't know. What are you going to do? It's a one-way mirror, the television. I don't see you. I come to New Zealand for the first time in my life, and they're like, hey, David. How do you know? It's a one-way mirror, right? And you are in people's living rooms. You are in their homes every week. So you become a friend.
I know, but
and you don't know who's... Well, no, you're not the role. The role is something that you do. It's a craft. Yeah. And it's wonderful that people appreciate the craft. That's the thing I like about it, is that I really appreciate when I see good acting or how it's done, how it's put together. That's nice. But to be on television, it's like my kids. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everybody.
Avete ascoltato Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia. Da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafini, con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof. Massimo De Santo. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.com, sul profilo Instagram Fantascientificast, sul canale Telegram Fantascientificast e sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity. Se siete particolarmente timidi, potete utilizzare la vecchia, cara e affidabile posta elettronica scrivendoci all'indirizzo redazione@fantascientificast.com. Tutte le puntate sono disponibili sul nostro sito e su tutti i principali servizi di streaming on demand. Se volete sostenere il nostro progetto offrendoci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, troverete tutte le informazioni e modalità nell'apposita sezione del nostro sito. Il podcast ha carattere esclusivamente ricreativo e divulgativo. Non ha alcun scopo di lucro e viene diffuso gratuitamente. Fantascientificast è una produzione amatoriale. Non si intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. Autorizzazione SIAE 5612I5359. Nessun byte e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Val 9000 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento al prossimo episodio lungo la rotta di Kessel. E ricordate, la fantascienza finge di guardare dentro il futuro, ma in realtà guarda il riflesso della verità che è davanti a noi. Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.